Whew.
Like that song, brother. Boy. Yeah. Well, we do. We have a direct line to him. And every one of us have that line. It's an easy number. Just pick it up, 1-800-HEAVEN. It answers 24/7. Well, Dabar Shalom. Turn to someone near you. Don't say, Dabar Shalom. Yeah, and we're talking. You're speaking to them. You're speaking tranquility, wholeness, health, welfare, prosperity. And you're speaking favor. That's what you're doing when you Dabar Shalom. And I reinforce that because I want you to know when someone comes up. If someone comes up to you and says, Shalom, Shalom, man, you just got a double hit. Praise God. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. Nothing damaged. That's the connotation that means when you speak it. The Ba just means simply to speak it and to speak it out loud. Not quietly. Speak it out loud so your spirit man hears it and their spirit man hears it. Make that connection. Now in Acts 1:8, it says, we will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. And we shall be witnesses to him in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. Yeah, I was trying to make that where you understand that we are to be those type of witnesses all over the world, no matter where we're at. When we go to the grocery store, when we go sit down with our dentist or our doctor. Yeah. Especially when they say, you're going to get the shot this time? No. Okay. Oh, I see you've never gotten a shot. No. Never have, never will. Don't need it. I've been fully vaccinated in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so are you. But the Holy Spirit is in us. And he carries with him the dunamis power of God. God's power resonates in you. But then to keep his power charged to its maximum, to be able to make changes to our life and everything around us, we need to have a daily intake of the Word of God. So as we write and speak out loud decrees and declarations in faith based on the Word of God, that's why those decrees are so important. If you notice, they're all based on Word, the Word of God. Well, change will take place. Do you hear me? Change will take place. The Word does not return void. It carries the same power when it was first spoken. And we have the authority to speak it. That's why he said to use his word. Amen. That's why when we make those decrees, it's so important. And things will change. But don't let doubt enter in. See, that's something we got to fight. That's why we make the decrees and we can repeat them. We have to repeat them to get our faith level up, because that's what the Word does. It builds our faith up. And as we make those decrees according to the Word, that's what it does for us. Because we know what doubt comes in, because doubt will come in quick. You can make a decree here and walk out the door and God start doubting, or not God, but God will have to try to protect you from being attacked because of your thought life out there. See, and Satan, he throws the thoughts in. Don't speak them. Speak God's word over it. Because God cannot lie. He is not a man that he should be. No, he's not like us. It's impossible for him to lie. Impossible. Because what's it say? For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. That's what the Word says in James. James chapter 1, that's in verses 6 and 8 there. God's Word was given, though, by divine inspiration. And what we know is divine meaning of relating to or directly proceeding from God. Right from God. When it says divine. What's it say in the in our divine? When you read the Declaration of Independence, our divine providence. Divine. You got to understand what that word means when you look at it in the different places. What it jumps out to you and says. The unchangeable, faultless, eternal, circumstance dominating, faith producing word of God is the seed that produces new life in us and others as we decree it, declare it, and pray it. When you pray, do you just go like this? Or do you start talking to God? Yes, see, because when you talk and speak it, your spirit man hears it. The thoughts ain't going to get it sometimes. You got to speak it. So important. That's why when we pray aloud. Amen? See, you and I are spirit because we are created in God's image. And He is spirit. We have a soul, which is the seat of our mind, will, and emotions. It receives input from outside and inside, gives direction, and can follow either our body or our spirit. But our body is not to be the boss. Our spirit is to take the lead. Always. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, so the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the heart. Our spirit is where the light of God shines. And what is His light? What's revelation? It's understanding, it's knowledge, and it's foresight. Where does that light come from? And it comes from God's Word. In Psalm 119, verse 105, says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. And then in verse 130, it says, The entrance of Thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Now, the facilitator of the divine light, hear that? Divine light, is Holy Spirit. See, He's the connector who reveals to us what's in the Word and in Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But it is written, Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Since we're created in God's image, Just as his spirit searches, so does ours. We search for the deep things of God. And we find them, because it says in Proverbs 20, verse 27, Holy Spirit reveals them in our inward parts. Did you get that? To our inward parts. Now, that word, parts, it's plural. See, that's because in our spirit there are parts. All of them connected to who we are meant to be. We have parts that help us fulfill our relational callings as a spouse, a parent, a sibling, a friend, a church member, a member of the community. We have parts that help us fulfill our ministry callings, the preaching parts, discipling parts, praying parts, giving parts, parts that see, hear, and discern. See, it's like our physical body. It has many parts as well. We have bones, muscles, ligaments, and tendons that are healed, nerves, organs, and that's just to name a few. And they are within different systems. We have the digestive system, the nervous system, the respiratory system, the circulatory system. And there's a list of them. And those parts are different. However, the elements they're made of are the same. The most prevalent of those elements is water. Water makes up 70% of the human body. Our body is also made up of other substances, such as proteins and minerals and carbohydrates, lipids that interact in the cells to maintain life. Water is the main factor in those interactions. So what's that mean? We all need to drink more water. Am I right, my brother? Dean's forever got a bottle of water in his hand. So are quite a few of you others. But aren't you glad that you don't have to figure out how to get that water to each specific body part? Think about it. All you do is put it down. But the body knows how to do what it has to do to get that water to every part that we need it to. So we just drink the water and the body distributes it. And it uses it. And it knows to replenish it when needed. Our spirit functions in such the same way. While we have different spiritual parts, they're also are made up of common spiritual elements. Exactly what are we made up of? What elements are in us? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right there. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have the hope of glory himself in every part of our being. Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing is in you. You got to let that sink in. Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing is in you. God's enormous power, his ability, his equipping that is on Jesus is in every part of us. Nothing's left out. Remember how the water is in every cell of your body? Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is spiritual water. In John 4:14, it says, and this is Jesus speaking, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Pretty powerful. What else are we made out of? The Word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 reads, you have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. The unchangeable, faultless, eternal, circumstance-dominating, faith-producing Word of God is the seed that produced life in each and every one of us. When you made that confession and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your life was changed. Never the same. Never the same. So Jesus is in us, and He is spiritual water. Now, I don't want you being confused, because Jesus and the Word are one. He is the Word made flesh. And the Word also is called water. Ephesians 5:26. That He, Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse us with the word of with the washing of water by the Word. Jesus Christ makes us holy with the washing of the water by the Word. We are also born of the Spirit. Because in John 3:6, it states, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Holy Spirit is referred to in Scripture as water. I'm just trying to make sure that you understand here. So in John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39, he who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. You understand that? Whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But see, we're on the other end of that. What's more, as believers, we're told in Ephesians 5:18 to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit. And filled where? Well, in Ephesians 3:16 answers that. It says, in the inner man, by the Holy Spirit Himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. Wow. These parts are in us. And these divine elements are flowing in there. It's making up who you are and how you act. That's why you don't listen to the body, you listen to the Spirit. You know, it's flesh to Spirit. And we got to listen to the Spirit. The fact, though, that we are instructed to be filled indicates we must participate in the filling. We must keep drinking of Holy Spirit. When we're filled with the water of the Spirit, there is an overflow into every spiritual part, into our soul and even our bodies. Many miraculous healings have come about that had nothing to do with man. Nothing. It had with the effect that happened to the parts that are in you that started to work. We have to get these parts, knowing that we have these parts and that we can work them to getting us through difficulties. And let me just leave it at that. So we have parts, and we have divine elements that are feeding them, and we're going through those now. Okay? And that's why I say we have, you know, Christ, the hope of glory. He's in us. He is in us. We have the Word. And we know that the Word works. So we must always be working the Word. And Jesus, when he gives you that drink and you take, you aren't going to thirst anymore. Now, there's a long process here we're walking and going through. And I've come a long way, baby. You know, who would ever thought that Jackie Robinson was going to be up at the pulpit being known as Pastor Jack? But God and a praying wife. She wants to go back on divine reversal here a little bit. Because she was talking about something the other day and it hit a rubber light. She said, "You are a divine reversal." She says, "I need to go up and preach that, don't I?" I said, "Oh, yeah." But she says, "Well, you preach about that, and then I'll go over and take over." Because it was a divine reversal. I went 180 degrees. 180 degrees. But she kept praying. Even though I was a bear that had been woken out of its sleep. And here I stand today. Because God answered those prayers. Because she got to a point where her faith rested. She knew she had to do. And once she gave me to Christ, that was it. Hallelujah. That's a whole nother story there. Yeah. As wonderful as the water of Christ, the Word and the Spirit, our spirit also contains the divine element of love. What's love got to do with it? In Romans chapter 5, verse 5. I was going to read the New King James, but I'm just going to go ahead and read the Amplified. It says, "Such hope in God's promises never disappoints us, because God's love has been abundantly poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." The love of God is marvelous. It makes us a blessing to others and helps us to fulfill our relational callings. And I was looking at reading, because we've read these several times, these different but this version I wanted you to hear. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. This is the Spirit-filled Life Bible. "Love suffers long, having patience with imperfect people. Love is kind, active in doing good. Love does not envy, is not puffed up, treating others arrogantly, but displays good manners and courtesy. Love does not seek its own, insist on its own rights and demanding precedence, is not provoked, irritable or touchy, rough or hostile, but is grateful under pressure. Love thinks no evil. It does not keep an account of wrongs done to it. Instead, it erases resentments. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, finding satisfaction in shortcomings of others and spreading an evil report. Rather, it rejoices in the truth, aggressively advertising the good. Love bears all things, defending and holding other people up. Love believes that the best, love believes the best about others, hopes all things, never gives up on people. Never gives up on people. You love them, keep praying for them. Endures all things, preserving and remaining loyal to the end. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Now, Rick Renner is an accomplished Greek scholar. And he has said that love encompasses all the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 lists them. Says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, I'm going to repeat that. If you haven't got that, it's a New King James Version. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. According to Rick Renner, this scripture can be read like this. This is because he studied the Greek out in this. Which, the fruit of the Spirit is love, which is joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Did you hear the difference? The fruit of the Spirit is love, which is joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They're all encompassed in love. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
All of these spirits right there, encompassed in love, are part of ours. Spirit. Part of our spirit. They may still be in seed form with some of you, but you can water them with the Word. And with fellowship with Jesus. And by praying in the Spirit. There's a key thing that a lot of us don't do as much as we should. Praying in the Spirit. They may, then when we draw on any part within us, remember this, we are drawing on the blessings of love which encompasses all those fruits. And if you think about it, it's like you're sitting here with, I don't know if you like pears or apples. You just take that pear that's been there and it's not a snap. And it just runs down. Just think of that. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Another divine element that permeates all the various parts within our spirit is the righteousness of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And what is righteousness? It's God's own right-ness. He is right. He's perfect, without flaw or weakness. There's nothing outside of Him that is right. And nothing in Him that is not perfectly right. God's righteousness is such a powerful force for us. It changes what is wrong and makes it right, or eliminates it altogether. Amen. It came into us when we were born again and made every part of our spirit perfect, without blemish. Living righteously allows the force of the righteousness to flow freely from you and me. None of us, of course, could have ever made it to the point of being righteous. If it were not for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood. Amen. Every part of us was touched by sin and death. But by Jesus' sinless blood, we are thoroughly blood washed, we are blood cleansed, and we are blood redeemed. And we are saturated with God's grace. The very earmark of the gospel, the divine element of God's grace, is also in every part of us. The glory of His grace made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made abound toward us. And that's Ephesians chapter 1, 6 through 8. What is grace? It's God's willingness to supply His power and ability to us to do what He wants us to do and to have all that He wants us to have. And if you want to know what He wants you to have, just open up and read it. He wrote it all down for you. He don't want you poor. No. Jesus was never poor when He walked on this earth. He always knew that He had finances because the Father was going to supply Him. And He's promised in His Word to supply all of your need. Amen. I'm not saying sometimes your wants. You just got to get past your needs. You're more worried about your wants and your needs get buried and then you get behind and can't make bills.
Yeah, come on, Pastor.
Because you're doing it once.
That's right.
You get your needs met and you do your tithes and offerings. And watch things change. Am I right, Deanie? Where's he at? Okay, yeah, he's on there. He heard me. Am I right? Money comes in and you don't even know where it comes in from. God does, and God will make a way to get it to you. That's just one thing I'm talking about. Same thing goes with health. I don't know where that's coming from. God, praise God. We're just going to take it. Hallelujah. His grace is running throughout every part of our being for this purpose. And it's listed here. For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may be those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. He made it ready for us. We aren't supposed to be living in some of the circumstances we're in. Start looking at the mirror and asking yourself, what have I done? What can I do different? I've had a lot of talks with myself through the years when I found out that's where the problem always lied. Whenever I was having relational problems with somebody that I thought, man, I'd never catch. I went in and I'm looking at me and I said, Lord, I says, why can't so-and-so be this way and blah, 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 and I'm just going on. And I said, you know, because that's where the problem lies. You know, the problem lies with you and your heart. And I just went, whoa. And once I thought of that, I said, he's right. I developed some of the best relationships with those people that I couldn't even get along with. We perceive people sometimes wrongly. We don't give them a chance to, you know, they might explain to some, but watch their actions. Watch what they do. Watch where their heart's at, where they're going. You know, God leads every one of us if we listen. He'll put us on a right path. We got all the parts within us. We got all the divine elements being fed to those parts so that we can be led and directed by the Holy Spirit who is in each and every one of us. But we got to be quiet sometimes and listen for that still, small, quiet voice. He's not going to be shouting at you. He's just going to speak to you. Because, see, he's not moved by circumstances that we're in. And neither should you be because of who you are in him and the greater one is living in you. We have the power to stay the course and watch changes come about. Watch family members get saved. When you call in the whole family and you stand together and you keep praying and believing for that, guess what you get? What do you get, bro? You get the whole family, don't you? Dean needs to give that testimony here again at the end before he sings. All these precious elements, they combine to produce in us life. The eternal abundant life of God, which is his glory. Jesus said, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that they may have and enjoy life, and have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows. That's why he came, to give us life in every part. That life that is within us came to earth, which is Jesus. And he was living in a natural body. And he drew from the divine within him. And it revealed to him what he needed to do. And that's why he did that, to reveal that to each and every one of you. To draw on those divine elements. Get in the Word. Draw closer to Jesus. You have the divine life in you. Divine life. Proceeding directly from God. Grab hold of that. You have his life. You have his glory within your physical body. All I can say, we have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful. We don't realize how much authority we carry, how much power we carry, how we have the ability to call those things to be not as though they were. We can change things. You just got a little bit of faith. What does it take, Joe? Just that little seed on the tip of that finger. That's all it takes. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Leads right into Thanksgiving, don't it? I hope to see you all Tuesday. No.